We are now in Lent. And that's a time when, for many Christians, it's an opportunity to just renew, reconnect with God in perhaps a new way, perhaps a deeper way. You may be aware that Lent lasts for a period, excuse me, of 40 days. And that represents the 40 days that Jesus was in the wilderness. And as a result, wilderness is one of the themes that is often considered during the period of Lent. So, as we move towards Easter, we're going to think about that theme of wilderness and from it, some of the lessons that it might have for us. And by that, what I mean is, those parts of our life that feel like we are in a wilderness season, in a wilderness situation. The places where it gets really tough, where we feel perhaps exposed, we are really stretched, and we're struggling to deal with the circumstances around us and maybe feel distant from God. Those are the kinds of things I mean by being in a wilderness moment. And then as a result, we're going to ask the question all the way through this little mini series, how can we continue to have encounters with God during those dry seasons in our lives? Now, the image of wilderness comes up again and again through scripture. And it describes a place where it is really difficult to live, where comfort is very scarce, and where challenges can be extreme. It can be lonely, and it can be exhausting. But it is in just those places of such extreme that we see some of the people of God having the most remarkable encounters with God. And that's where we want to look for our focus this time. So, right through the Old Testament into the New Testament, and Jesus himself spending his 40 days of testing in the desert. Wilderness has been a place of uncertainty, of danger, but at the same time, a place where salvation is found. And as such, Lent, which is a season when traditionally we have come to perhaps take that invitation to step out a little bit. To get a little uncomfortable, to question the norms and think more deeply about that relationship we have with God and ask the bigger spiritual questions. In Lent, we have that perfect opportunity where God invites us to step into that wilderness and invite Him to work. He challenges us to be courageous. And to face our vulnerabilities. And I want to invite us to do exactly that over the coming weeks. But always with the encouragement that for so many of the characters of Scripture who found themselves in this place, that's been where they have become to discover the God of love and provision. Who has turned everything around for them? So, over this series, we're going to see examples from Scripture of people who found themselves in that situation in the wilderness. And we're going to consider some of the desperate circumstances that have got them there, how they've gone through in this period, and how God has met with them. But I don't want to take us through this and merely suggest that we learn about God. I want to invite us to go further And invite God to touch us, invite God to prompt us with the lessons that we learn from this series, to prompt us about perhaps similar experiences that we are having, maybe a season in our life which feels dry and arid, in which we're struggling. Things that we might be going through. And I want to invite us to say, Lord, as you've met with people in the past, would you meet with me and change me? Maybe we'll also learn some lessons that might help us to help others, those around us who are going through a desert season, perhaps finding difficulty and struggling to find God in those things. But all the time, as we get closer and closer to Easter, we get closer to the cross, which is the place of God's ultimate healing. So we're going to meet lots of different characters over the weeks, but today, before we meet any of those, we're going to think a little bit and remind ourselves of the magnitude of God's transformation, how he brings transformation in the wilderness, and the completeness, the magnitude of what he does when he's allowed to break in into those situations. And to do that, we're going to go right back, literally, to the beginning of our Bibles, and Genesis chapter one, the first words of the Bible. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Now the earth was formless and empty. Other translations would say without form and void. I wonder whether we understand the magnitude of what those words describe. You see, the heart of God's creative healing intent and purpose in this world, in nations, in his nation Israel, in his church, in his people, and in you. The heart of his creative purpose is summarized in these words that we've read from the very beginning of his word. Why? Because his word is the story of God and his interactions with human beings. So, right at the beginning, we get a measure of God, what God wants to do in reaching out to humankind. And in these first verses, we read it. God reaches out to what is described as being without form and void. And the Hebrew words which are used here have a much bigger translation and meaning that you might at first imagine. It paints a picture of emptiness, of futility, of nothing. It's not just a scene which is quite dry, not many plants, it's a little bit desolate. It's so much more than that. It is a place where there isn't even purpose. There is no point. Those are the depths of a place without form and void. And it's into that primal landscape, that wasteland, that God does something remarkable. He reaches out and he brings light and life and order. So whether you are thinking, take your mind into what God might be doing here in his fuller, wider, broader intention, whether it is literally a physical desert scene that you're imagining, whether it is a location, a place, a nation or city that has been devastated by conflict, you might picture Gaza, for example. rubble everywhere. Whether it is a person who is just so broken, struggles to see God, or even a person who looks at themselves and imagines the futility, the hopelessness of life. It is into just those situations, all of them, that from the chaos, God brings order. And with that order, he brings purpose. He creates order. That's the place, isn't it, where he brings peace to us. And then he brings purpose, which is where we find the potential for the future coming. Do you realize it's much more accurate as we look at Genesis 1 and think about the Hebrew terms which is used to see this as not creation from nothing? Specifically, these words point to God bringing order and purpose. That's the potential and beauty to bring all these things out of the chaos that is currently there. It's a much greater objective than we might just give credit for. We sometimes think of God doing something, and we think of tweaking something, like going to a hospital and someone putting a plaster on that makes us feel a little bit better. God doesn't do that. He does something so much more comprehensive. And he does so, as we go on to read, by bringing light. And with that light, he brings life. He brings light into the situation. Let's be biblical people. Let's think, what does the language mean? Go to the New Testament. Let's think about John's epistles, his letters, not the gospel, his epistles. 1 John 1, verses 5 to 7, and we read, God is light. So when God brings light into a situation, what is it that he's doing? He's bringing himself into the very heart of this situation. That's what he did at creation. He brought himself into this. Picture it, if you like, that as he forms the earth, it's as if he is forming a temple to be the dwelling place of his presence. And he does exactly the same with us. Isn't that what he did with his nation, Israel? He created his nation, Israel, and in the tabernacle, in the center of the camp, all the tribes laid round about, and God's presence in the tabernacle, in the center. Isn't that what he does in the church? Isn't that what he does in us? The New Testament tells us that our body is the temple of the Holy Spirit. Nothing less than when the light of God comes into us, when we believe in Jesus as Lord and Savior, and we accept him into our lives, so the presence of God comes and dwells within us, the Spirit of God. That's the magnitude of what God does. So as we're thinking about being in a wilderness place and inviting God to come and do something, I want to encourage us today, my sole objective today is to invite us to expect God to do something so much greater than just tweak it and make us feel a bit better. But recognize that God himself comes. So at this moment, just partway through, I want to ask us to just pause and think about what could be a wilderness place in your life. We all have them. We all have those places where we struggle to bring God or find God in them. Those bits of our lives which are not fruitful, in which we're struggling to deal with things. Think about that for a moment for you. Where might those wilderness experiences be? Are they in you physically, emotionally, mentally, in your relationships, in something that you do or don't do? Maybe it's a season that you've been going through or are going through. Have you experienced emptiness, that level of emptiness, or considered something just futile? No point. Those are the wilderness experiences. Perhaps that's how you're feeling at the moment. If that is you in any way, then I want you to invite you to speak to God now and do something about it. In a moment, I'm going to lead a prayer and invite you to personalize it for you. I'm going to say it as a prayer for me, but you make it about you. And as I say the words, you just speak them out to God in the silence and add your amen at the end. I want to encourage you to speak to God right now. You might just yourself want God to make you feel a little bit better about something, or just come and tweak. I want to encourage you that from the example of Scripture, we see that God does so much more. God wants to bring light. That's light, so that we can see perspective, clarity, it's understanding. He brings order. That's that moment where we get peace and things fall into place. And whatever's going on around, we know the presence and peace of God. That's order. And then meaningfulness, so that all the bits of life have a purpose and there's potential. So let me pray, and you make this personal and reflect and add your amen. Father God, creator of our universe, of our world, as you spoke in creation, would you now speak? Let there be light. Would you speak that over the wilderness in my life? Father, we need your light, your understanding and perspective in our lives. We long for your life, for there to be growth and vitality in the areas where we feel distant from you. We long for your meaning and purpose where we feel useless and barren. So, Lord, would you make your presence be clear and known to us, to me, as you dwell in me? We ask in Jesus' name. Amen.
Oh, man.
Amen. Amen.
Let me read on. Now the earth was formless and empty. Darkness was over the surface of the deep. And look what comes and how God does this. Now the Spirit of God was hovering over the waters, and God said, "Let there be light." And there was light. The Spirit of God was hovering, and God said, "Let there be light," and there was light. Can you see how there's cooperation between the Spirit of God, the Word of God, and the activity of God? God hovers, the Word speaks, and God creates. The three things in harmony. And I want to ask you that question to keep asking yourself, beginning today, going through Lent, I wonder where the Spirit of God is hovering over those parts of the life where God wants to do something, those desert areas of your life. Where is God hovering over your desert life? And are you letting God speak? Where and how is he speaking? Do you realize that God is gentle? He doesn't force himself on us. Do you realize that gentleness, that word that is not very trendy in society today, gentleness is one of the fruit of the Spirit. It is the way God works, and he does that with us. And he's not going to force himself into those areas of life where we struggle to invite him. But in Lent, we have a perfect opportunity to say, Lord, what do you need to change in me? I was reminded of that verse in Revelation 3:20. Here I am, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in and eat with them, and they with me. If anyone hears my voice, the Spirit of God hovers over our lives and those parts of our lives where transformation is needed. And God, Jesus, is standing at the door and knocking. Are we willing to open the door? This is our opportunity, this Lent. Now, maybe you're a person who struggles to see that. You struggle to see just how much God loves you. So you really want to deal with me? I'm old, I'm getting on, I've not got great things to do in this world. If that's you, and you're concerned that somehow God doesn't really care, or is not that interested in you and transforming those bits that hurt or are distant in you, I remind you of the verse from Isaiah 43 that we read on Thursday. Since you are precious and honored in my sight, and because I love you, do not be afraid, for I am with you. Since you are precious and honored in my sight, he looks at you and he sees the righteousness of Christ. You are honored. And because he loves you, he says, do not be afraid, for I am with you. He's standing at the door to those bits that we've closed off. And he's saying, I want to do something. That's what God does. Creating order from the chaos is what God does. Think about it. The New Testament tells us precisely that. If anyone is in Christ Jesus, he is a new creation. The old has gone, the new has come. You're a new creation, and God wants to mold you and to take away those things that keep him at a distance. What a blessing we have. And I believe it is what God wants to do for you today. And as we go through Lent, the Spirit hovers, the Word speaks. Are we listening? Will we open the door? And God acts and does something incredible. It's an example of the perfect triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit working together And the picture here, how they work together in creation, is a picture of what God does in his people and in us. And here's the beauty of the grace of God for God's people. It is a work of grace that he does in us. He doesn't expect us to do it, he does it. It's his gift. It's what he does. We don't make the changes to transform us. He does. He's the one who does the renewing. If it was down to us to transform those bits of our lives that are a mess and that keep God at bay, yeah, you'd have every reason to be anxious and worried about how effectively you were going to make the transformation and how long it would last. But it is God who makes the changes, not us. And we can trust him. It's what God does. And it's the pattern that God has always said through scripture he has wanted for his people. I will be their God and they will be my people. Is it time for us to stop trying to be God in our lives and us put these things right and let God do what God does brilliantly? So, as I close, again, I want to offer a prayer which acknowledges who God is. Before I pray this, I want to invite you to do something every day this week, something really simple, first thing in the morning. Before you get out of bed, before you put your false teeth in, before you put your slippers on, before you go downstairs and get your tea and toast or have your first cigarette, whatever you do in the morning, before you do anything, when you just wake up to say, Lord, what do you want to speak to me today? As we go through Lent, as we get to the cross, what do you want to say to me today? Let me pray this prayer. And as I do so, you offer up that invitation and personalize it for you and add your amen. Lord of life, I offer you my life right now. Lord of light, illuminate my heart and my mind and glorify yourself in and through my life. Lord of order, I submit to your work of making me new. And through me, so renew that part of this world in which you've placed me to help me to bring blessing and influence. Make me a temple of your presence and dwell in me today. Amen.
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 Just before we move on, let me read the verse, the final verses that I didn't mention just then. And God said, "Let there be light," and there was light. When God says, it happens. God saw that the light was good. That's what he wants for each of you. And he separated the light from the darkness. Oh, Lord, please, would you do that in us? God called the light day, and the darkness he called night, and there was evening, and there was morning, the first day. The first day. This is just the first day. What does God want to say to you tomorrow? And then the next, as we invite him, as we just listen and open the door.